Hearth and Talent Radio.
Welcome to Facebook Live this afternoon. Topic for today's Facebook Live is prospecting avoidance. It is a topic that I cover 7 days a week with my coaching clients. If you're coming on Facebook Live here this afternoon, welcome. It is now officially 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Marina and Aaron Knight have joined the Facebook Live. They are on live today. We also have Scott Lucas. We have Mark. Welcome to the call. Deb Lucas, welcome to the Facebook Live this afternoon. I'm looking outside of my great big office window here, and it is in the 70s this afternoon. So if you're in the East Coast, blessings to you. Wishing you spring-like weather here right away. Kate Grace, looking forward to connecting with you. Kate just recently hired me. Zach, Pietro, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to cover prospecting avoidance today. I cover this topic 7 days a week with my coaching clients. I did an event this Saturday in Los Angeles, California. Actually, Marina Del Rey with Sandy Girl Clark. Sandy is one of the best prospectors that I've ever had the privilege to coach one-on-one. Now, prospecting requires reflexes. That means that you're able to communicate, connect, ask questions with people in a sequence, in a very relaxed, educational, informational interview process. That's what prospecting is. Prospecting is your ability to have a conversation with someone and establish, is this a qualified buyer? Is this someone who has a problem that my product, service, benefit, feature, my coaching, my whatever it is that I'm marketing can add value, can resolve a problem? Because that's what you're prospecting for. So if you're a headhunter in Los Angeles, California, I went into an office one time in Westwood, California on an interview, and I went to a placement service who was sending me out on job interviews. Well, I was definitely interviewed. Do you have a college degree? Where did you go to college? What was your degree in? What year did you graduate? What do you feel qualifies you for this job? Tell me a little bit about your sales experience. Have you ever sold? And then they would ask me if I ever sold this. So this was the questions in a sequence that I cover. I mean, this is the game. This is the inner game of prospecting. Now, what most of society does is they have anxiety about this. They have anxiety about making a mistake, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, being rejected, being abandoned, getting overwhelmed, offending someone, don't want to come across as being salesy, don't want to come across as being pushy, don't want you to think I'm trying to sell you something. These are a lot of the bad habits and a lot of the misinformation you hear about selling. Selling is not a misunderstood skill. A lot of people misunderstand selling. Selling is pure. Selling is the highest paid profession in the world. And as you begin to master the inner game of selling, the inner game of prospecting, you will become a professional. Anything other than becoming a professional, you are an amateur. Now, what happens to most of society is they have prospecting avoidance. They get overwhelmed. They go into fight or flight. They tell themselves a story about the outcome that hasn't happened. They go into anxiety. They have anxiety about being rejected and don't want to hear the word no. These are some of the commonalities that keep people from asking the questions in a sequence. Now, this right here represents the gap and a delay. So here's what an ideal situation would be. There's no gap and a delay, and communication flows like this. Now, here's the way it is for most people. They have a gap and a delay in their communication style. They don't know what to say. They try and make sense of it, and they go like this. They go backwards like this. They go backwards, and they go up like this. And now they're in fight or flight. This happens in real estate. This happens in financial planning, insurance sales, car sales, software sales, any type of selling. An unskilled sales amateur has anxiety about the outcome. Now, in corporate America, there is sales training, and you do a ride along with your manager. Your manager goes out in the field with you, or you go out in the field with someone who's a top tier sales professional field. They oftentimes will send you to sales training and sales school. I got hired by Southwestern Bell in 1987. I got shipped off to Phoenix, Arizona, where I did a 6-week course and a straight commission selling sales position. Now, I did get paid for the training, but once I went into the field, there was a click-down process where eventually it was straight commission. I once worked for Sysco Foods, selling to restaurants and institutions, the same situation, straight commission, sales job on a quota system. And I was responsible for my own leads. And this is what you are. You're responsible for this. More leads than you have time. Now, here are some questions that I encounter. I even encountered them today. Jeff, how do I find leads? And I'm just like, my God, dude, you've asked me this every freaking hour for the last 2 years. How do I? I mean, I hear this, how do I? People go, I know you hate how do I. No, I don't hate it. It's with the analytical, egoic mind. It's what an addicted, emotionally overwhelmed person will ask me and ask themselves, how do I? It's the ego's way of protecting itself from failing. It's the ego's way of protecting itself from being rejected. It is your responsibility to understand when a prospect does not buy from you, seldom if ever is it regarding rejecting you. I just had a woman send me a message that said she really enjoyed one of my books and she's going to be hiring me soon. I mean, that means whatever it means. And that means that that's a buy signal, but she's not buying today. I mean, that's what you want to understand. Your objective is in selling is to create rapport with people in a relaxed informational style where you're able to provide the benefits and features that you're selling. You want to be able to provide someone a way to preview the product through a system. They either watch a video or you do a sales presentation that you've done over and over on the spot, and it takes 10-15 minutes max, and then you can move into the closing process. All sales have their own sales cycle. So there are certain type of products, benefits, and features that are sold that have a longer selling cycle. I coach a man who sells logistics software. His company has led him to believe that that's about a year sales cycle. For most of you on today's call or on Facebook Live today, most of you, the selling cycle is relatively short. It can be one conversation, two conversations, three conversations, usually not a whole lot more. And if it continues to drag out and drag out, you'll find that you're wasting a lot of time in areas that it's not going to pay you, compensate you, or serve you. Meaning it's your responsibility to understand what's meant by what is said so that you understand who the qualified buyer is. I asked a gentleman recently at one of my events if he'd ever considered hiring me. He said to be honest with you. I didn't ask if he was being honest. I asked him if he's ever considered hiring me, and in his honesty, he ended up telling me a story about what's going to happen this summer. Now, I know that's not going to happen. I thanked him and let him go. Now, the fortune is not the follow-up. The fortune is in the sale. The fortune is in the close, and the more you understand that, the better you will become at the questions that lead to the close. So prospecting is a series of trial closing questions throughout the conversation so you can establish, is this an interested, qualified, serious, committed buyer. And it requires you to be able to let go of your anxiety about the outcome, ask the questions that are pertinent to the conversation to see if this is someone who's going to receive the benefit, the value, if this is someone who can purchase the product. Do they have the credit? Do they have a credit score? Do they have the credit power? Do they have money? Do they have the resources? I mean, this is your responsibility to figure this out without worrying about prying in someone's affair, being nosy, and all these other wives' tales that you have heard growing up. Because it's your responsibility to devote your most important commodity, time. And if you're wasting your time with someone who's a non-qualified buyer, then you just burned your most valuable commodity. Now, this means you are responsible for letting go of your prospecting avoidance. The reason that you will avoid prospecting is because your body goes into fight or flight. Your body that runs the brain goes into fight or flight and goes, oh my God, I have to avoid this. I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm going to go online. I'm going to get more training. A large percent of the spiritual, business, entrepreneurial community spends a great deal of their time training, and then typically what they do is they train the trainer, and they spend a lot of time training themselves on training themselves, and they medicate their education, and they levitate, medicate, but most importantly, hesitate when it comes to prospecting. Now, at 1:30 California time, in about 18 minutes, I'm in my upstairs office. I'm going to walk downstairs to where my other office is. It's right around that end of my house. It's right over there. I'm going to walk right down there. My ass is going to be in the chair. I'm going to sit down for 1.5 hour and prospect. I have my leads right there on the side of the desk. I just turned 63 years old in January. I still prospect. I qualify people for my time. I had a prospect who purchased from me today who had a credit challenge, and I'm waiting for that situation to get resolved. I mean, this is what prospecting is. Prospecting is a series of conversations about the outcome you seek. It's being able to qualify the buyer for the product, service, benefit, and feature. It's being able to have relaxed conversation with prospects. If they're something up front, once they put you in a position, you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. If they're hostile, if they're not friendly, if they're not warm, this is a telegraph. This is a clue to exit the conversation diplomatically and move on. Don't feel rejected or abandoned. There are occasionally a few people like that in the world. Most of society is not like that. If someone lets you know very quickly they're not interested, let them go, they're not interested. Let go of trying to make sense. That doesn't make sense. Well, that person's overweight. They could really use my product. Well, you have to let go of making sense because not everyone is a qualified buyer. Your objective is to be able to present your product, your service, your benefit and feature of someone who can receive the value. They will receive the value and be able to offer you referrals or other situations. Or through your service and your value, you create a win-win situation. Now, that will not happen when you're anxious. When you're anxious, you're in rejection consciousness, abandonment consciousness. When you're anxious, you're also in resentment consciousness because you'll resent yourself for not following through in the process. If you keep avoiding the process, then what you'll also feel is guilty. These are some of the emotions that happens by prospecting avoidance. About 9 out of 10 of my clients in all walks of life spend most of their career avoiding prospecting. Fortunately for me, that did not enter my wheelhouse. My sales history starts as a teenager. I start selling Time Life books at 6th and Washington, downtown Denver, Colorado, 1976, my freshman year of college. I then enter into the radio television department at Northwest Missouri State University. I'm an on-air DJ. I'm also reading sports and newscasts. I'm also a DJ on National Public Radio for the classical radio station, doing classical records as part-time. I'm also voiceover and other situations, but I found selling early in that career. I became very skilled at selling radio and television advertising time. I worked for the Fox Television Network for a period of time in my 20s, so I've had a few commissioned sales jobs. And I found real quickly in my life that I have an aptitude for selling. Now, I'm not someone who could sell ice to an Eskimo. I don't use terms like that or cliches. I'm a sales professional, and I've learned over multiple years, multiple books. The first sales book I ever read was How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins in 1985 when I lived in Los Angeles, California. I also sold copiers. I've sold a multitude of products throughout my selling career. I was also a very, very skilled waiter in 4- and 5-star restaurants where I would build check averages. I've always been very good at suggestive selling. If someone would order scotch and water, the reflex would be any particular brand of scotch that you would like to imbibe on today. May I suggest a Glenlivet or a Glenfiddich? I mean, that was a 12-year-old single malt. And those are premiums. The same with wines. I was very good at suggesting selling white burgundies and Chateau Lafite Rothschild and great champagnes. That's suggestive selling. So selling requires reflexes, the ability to adapt and adjust in the middle of a conversation. So if someone says, I don't know, my response would be, if you did know, what would you say? So that's a reflex. This is how you move the conversation along. Selling also requires pauses. When someone is contemplating thinking, your objective is not to blow the sale by talking. These are all skills you learn by the repetition and the experience. You cannot learn these when you're in prospecting avoidance. Prospecting is a very simple skill to master, yet extremely difficult when you have a lot of anxiety. Your anxiety is based on unresolved issues from past events, primarily about being rejected, abandoned, being judged, being ridiculed, being made fun of. This is what ties why you avoid prospecting from a past event. So here's prospecting, here's the past. You're walking down the street on the way to school. You're already worried about the girls or the boys who are going to pick on you when you get to school. Your body's in fight or flight. You get into school and you get picked on. You're 40 years old, you pick up a telephone, your body starts to go into fight or flight based on those unresolved events. You're worried about making a mistake, being judged, what to say, who to be, what to do. And this is the emotional chatter that's going on in your unresolved issues that you hold on to. As you begin to separate your feelings from the events, focus on the facts. The facts is, this is the business that can set me free. This is the vehicle that will allow me to liberate myself from my debt. This is the vehicle that will allow me to one day quit my job. This is the vocation that's going to allow me to create the assets so I can one day retire. This is the vehicle that will allow me to live my dreams. But that does not happen without the price being paid. And that means the simple discipline, one day at a time, over a long career, becoming skilled and exceptional at this process. I just finished coaching one of my clients who closed 9 sales last week. Now that was a record for her. And now that is a network marketing company. And she also told me that her mentor in that same business had closed 20 in 1 month. And that's about what I would do on an average month. And I always gauged my progress on how many closes per week. I would close 3 to 5 sales per week when I was in a direct sales network marketing company. As a coach, I close at least 1 sale every single day, 7 days a week of my life, because that's who I am and what I do. That's the average. And so if you want to achieve 6 figures in a calendar day, well, that's $300 a day. If you want to achieve 7 figures in a calendar year, well, that's $3,000 a day. That's $21,000 a week, $84,000 a month. That is your first $1 million year. And that's how you would start to understand the dialogue with money required in a sequence for you to become successful in your enterprise. In 1995, I was $100,000 in credit card debt. As I crossed into 1996, I was in a situation where I had a very short window to create some momentum so I could create enough money so I could pay a little ahead of my debt. Well, I found a business that became that vehicle for me. In 11 months and 17 days, I was able to free myself from that debt, and I moved into a very, very prosperous state. Now, I was a veteran of the industry, of my industry at that time. I was very skilled at prospecting, and I was in the right place at the right time with the startup company that had a bonus plan in place, and I started to hit the bonus money, and I started to figure out how to hit the bonus money, and that's what I started to use to liberate myself from my debt. I was able to buy my first house in the very next year, and I've never not had assets in my life once I began to break through. And all that breakthrough process came from the years of prospecting previously, so that when I entered that year 1996, 7, and 8 and became a 7-figure income earner, it's because of all the repetition and experience. I also learned how to create leads, more leads than I had time. In that era, I was using postcards. I was called the king of the postcards. I had my own postcard company that I factored how to build. And I was buying postcards originally, then I figured out how to do my own, and I was creating over 125 leads a week that were calling me, coming into my inbox. Now I have an internet marketer who does doing text messaging for me. I've run sales funnels, I've had my own sales funnels, I write posts 7 days a week, I post on 4 different places daily. I have a fan page, my personal page, a LinkedIn page, and Instagram. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I have 4 posts going out to those. And then throughout the day, I continue to post to create some in front of my audience. So it means I'm always in front of my audience, having eyes on my business. And it's those eyes on my business that creates the leads, so that I have this equation in place, more leads than time. And my AIC, my ass, is in this chair or that chair down there a large percent of the day. There are many days that I don't leave my house, and people go, "Are you a workaholic?" No, Chief, I own a business. I have 4 insurance policies. I have 3 employees. I have payroll tax. I have taxes on top of taxes that I didn't know taxes existed. I own multiple properties. I have a lot of moving parts, overhead in situations like that, and then I have assets that I preserve. As a matter of fact, I called my agent who handles my brokerage. So I have someone who handles a lot of my investments, and I have him in front of the broker so that he converses with me frequently, and I ask him what's going on in the market today, how that will affect it. He goes, no, we didn't. Our investments went up while most people's investments went down. See, that's the value of having assets. My investments made over six figures last year alone using a fee-only broker, and that is one way that I create passive residual income. Now, I learned that all through this process, but that came from prospecting. Prospecting allowed me to create the money. The money became the profit. The profit became the assets. The assets became the leverage. So I'm not in any debt. I would never be in debt. If I'm going to borrow money, I'll borrow it from myself and not pay interest on it. Now, I earned that by prospecting, and you could do the same thing. It wasn't that many years ago that I was just starting out, and I mean, I've always been good at prospecting, but I wasn't good at picking businesses. And so I had several businesses that went up and down, but prospecting always kept me in the business. So here's some key components to prospecting. Learn to ask questions that are 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. When you ask a question, don't ask 3 or 4 in the same paragraph, ask one. When someone asks you a question, answer it. Answer the question without a story. That will assist you to understand when you ask someone a question, they tell you a story, you can go, Susan, that's not the question I ask you. Feel comfortable in interrupting people by using their name. It's not rude, it's your time. You interrupt them by using their name and then redirecting the flow of the question you ask. If you don't receive the answer from the question you ask, then you're seduced by the prospect listening to their story. You have to let go of a lot of the anxiety you have about being rude, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, offending someone. I seldom have ever anyone say I offended them, because I know how to very diplomatically interject and move the conversation along. Also, whatever business you're in, there should be a series of questions that you ask over and over that are routine to the vocation. You should have a series of trial closing questions that you ask over and over and over. If I'm a financial planner, I'm going to have questions pertinent to that vocation, but they're going to be similar to the questions I would ask if I was a real estate agent. Those same questions are going to be pertinent if I was a network marketer or salesperson, because I'm selling. You want to ask questions like this. How would this product improve your life? What are you looking to improve your life? Have you ever considered? Are you serious about? These are trial closing questions. Why would you want to? Why would you want to own your own business? Why do you want to improve the quality of your health? Why do you want to own your own house? Why do you want to be a real estate investor? Why do you want to have assets? I mean, these are the questions you learn to ask in a sequence. You learn to let go of your anxiety about the outcome that hasn't happened so you can be and stay present. Another point, you want to be a skilled listener. So that means that you hear with your inner ear so you can hear what's meant along with what's being said. Yeah, that's Y-E-A-H, I'll get back to you. What does that actually mean? Well, yeah isn't yes, I'll get back to you. There was no date. Now, the woman who said to me today, I'll let you know when I'm ready to hire you. It will be soon. Now, once again, she's stamping that. She didn't give me an exact date, but that was I could feel that was relatively soon, and she followed up with me. The fortune is not in the follow-up. The fortune is in the close. You follow up with people who intuitively, in your common sense, says follow up with them. You don't follow up in a blanket with people, and you don't keep inviting or dragging people along. You find out where they are, and you find out by asking them. And by asking them questions in a sequence, you're able to tell where they are, especially if you hear what they mean, not what they say. And the better you become this skill, the higher the probability that you will begin to attract your reality, quality, like-minded success seekers, buyers who buy emotionally, buyers who see the value. I coach a young man, and just recently I put into his consciousness that his product and feature, it's not pricey. That's what some people say. His product and feature is a five-figure purchase price, and I informed him that his product, there are going to be people who see it on their first view and they'll buy it. He had never had that happen. And then in the month of January and February, he had 3 people who saw him the first view and purchased on command within 24 hours. Now, he goes, he had never considered that because he'd never considered it, because he figured and factored that with that price point that people have to take a long... I said, no, the qualified buyer is a qualified buyer. I let him know that I walked into a Mercedes dealership last September, I knew what I was looking for. I met the salesperson. He was Dante. He walked me over to his desk. I told him very clearly what my wife was looking for. She let him know very clearly. It took us about 1 hour, and I wrote a check, and we walked out of there, and that car was delivered in a week. I mean, it was like that. That's a salesman or saleswoman's dream, and there are people who are like that. These are qualified buyers who, if the value is great enough, the cost doesn't matter. I have a client who lives over in Atherton, California. That's over there. Atherton is in the Palo Alto area. In zip code of California, that's one of the most prosperous zip codes in America. Look it up. Atherton. A-T-H-E-R-T-O-N. My client David sold one investor two houses for eight figures. I mean, so, and it took him two phone calls. Now, the buyer is in Japan, and he did it with the buyer's agent, and it was two phone calls. And the buyer's agent did all the looking, and then it was negotiated like this, and it was like this. And my client was overwhelmed with joy and how easy that was. See, that's the ease sometimes of how the money can move in what is called a transaction. So in letting go of your prospecting reluctance, what you're letting go of is anxieties and stories that you tell yourself that hinder you from being able to be successful. What do I say? It's not what you say, it's what you ask. You ask the questions in a sequence. For those of you who are my coaching client, and you've received my downloads. In the downloads is my signature product, Psychology of Asking. That is a CD set you should listen to over and over. I produced that in 2008. In 2005, I produced one of my signature products called the Psychology of Closing. That's a 10 CD set. In 1998, I produced a product called Power Prospecting and Sorting Professionals. Now, that's a single CD set. On a download, you can find that on my website, goldenmastermind.com. In 2000, I produced a CD set, an 8 CD audio program, on cassette at the time, The Psychology of Prospecting. So there's a total of 29 audios on downloads. They used to be CDs that you can access. The signature product is Psychology of Asking, a 10 CD audio program that will give you comprehensive insight on how to effectively ask the questions in a sequence. When someone says, "Let me get back to you," your reflex would be, "John, when will you be getting back to me?" And that's not rude, that's not abrasive, that's you asking a question to trial close to see if the prospect is a qualified buyer. When they go, so Ray Cadline says, yes, prospecting and qualifying have become so much more clear and simple since coaching with you. Thank you, Ray, because that really is the ease of the process when you understand it. So Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. We're almost at the 1st of March, the Ides of March. So this Saturday, I will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Looking forward to dining at Market Barbecue on Friday night. So that's Minneapolis, Minnesota this Friday. On March 7th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On March 21st, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire with Abby O'Neill. March 28th, I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri. And you can find me on Friday night at Charlie Gito's on Hill in St. Louis. And then April 11th, I'll be in Saddlebrook, New Jersey. So those are some of the events where you can see me live at a More Heart Than Talent one-day event. Thank you very much, everyone. You have an outstanding afternoon. This live is officially live, has been recorded, will be available on Podomatic. I'll be back on here at 9 o'clock this evening.